Welcome to the Staying Ageless podcast, a show that will equip you with the major keys to achieve extraordinary longevity. This is your girl, Asosa E. I'm a certified nutrition specialist and behavioral coach. And today on the show, we will be talking about how to navigate menopause like a boss. To get this longevity party started, we will delve into the basics of women's hormonal stages with a focus on perimenopause and some nutritional tips for women going through their transition. And later today, we'll be chatting with our special guest, Zora Benamou. I am so grateful to have each and every one of you tuning into the show from all over the world. Shout out to listeners in Nigeria, the UAE, the USA, the UK, Ireland, Spain, South Africa, France, Germany, and much more. If today's show inspires you, I'm inviting you to go ahead and subscribe and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It means the world to me to get feedback, so any reviews are much appreciated. Hey, y'all. Hey, we're back again. I'm thrilled to bring you today's episode. It's going to be a game changer. We've got an incredible guest on the show, and we're going to delve into biohacking, perimenopause, menopause, all the pauses to help any women out there trying to figure out how to navigate their transition. Okay. When most people think about menopause, they usually think about hot flashes, night sweats, some of the symptoms associated, but today we're going to break down some stereotypes and also how to embrace a holistic approach to empower you on this journey that considers perimenopause as well and the long transitional journey that happens as women that usually starts around our 40s. Before we get into all that, let's break down four stages that generally women are going to go through during adulthood. So first, we have the premenopause stage. So during the premenopause stage of life, a woman is having her regular menstrual cycle and generally is in her prime childbearing years, has no noticeable symptoms of menopause. Then there's perimenopause, and that's when a woman starts to experience menopausal symptoms, perhaps, or other symptoms related due to hormonal changes, but still has a cycle. And then there's menopause, the point in time when a woman has not had a period for 12 consecutive months. And then there's postmenopause, which begins usually 1 year after menopause. And over a billion women around the world have experienced perimenopause by 2025. And the word menopause wasn't used until around 1820, when it was coined by a French physician, Charles de Gardin. Before then, it was informally referred to as, I'm not kidding, women's hell, green old age, and death of sex. That's frightening. That's really, those names are horrible. Perimenopause is a natural phase in a woman's life that typically occurs in the years leading up to menopause, usually starts around the 40s, but can begin early for some, depending on genetics and other factors, and extend into early 50s. And the duration really varies for each individual. One of the primary changes, hormonal changes during perimenopause, is a decline in estrogen levels. And estrogen, as we know, is a key hormone that regulates our menstrual cycle. And it impacts various aspects of a woman's health, including our bone density, heart health, and even our mood. Some key aspects of perimenopause include irregular menstrual cycles. So one of the hormonal signs of perimenopause is irregularity. So women may experience changes in the length of their cycles. You may miss a period. You may feel like, oh my God, it's super heavy all of a sudden randomly. Or you may have lighter bleeding all of a sudden randomly. There can be other symptoms. So the symptoms typically associated with menopause can happen in perimenopause. So things like hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, irritability, fatigue, changes in your sleep patterns. And these symptoms can really vary widely among individuals. Some people have all, some people have absolutely none or one or two, you know, so it really depends on the person. And then there's generally, a fertility decline. So pregnancy is still possible during perimenopause, and there's more and more women actually giving birth during that time. But fertility technically gradually decreases. But it's really important because you still can get pregnant. It's really important that if you don't wish to be pregnant during that time, that you continue to use contraception if you're sexually active, because you actually can get pregnant during you can get pregnant during perimenopause. And then there are physical changes. So there, some women may notice changes in the skin, hair, or weight during perimenopause. Bone density may also start to decline, which is why it's really important to, you know, really think about strength training and all that stuff to really actually help with our bones, and also pay attention to our nutrition as well. It's really important to note that it's a natural and inevitable part of the aging process for women. And although it can bring about challenges and discomfort, it's also a time where women can really just hone in and focus in on self-care, healthy life choices, and seeking support to navigate this transitional phase more smoothly. As I mentioned, the core four symptoms of menopause are hot flashes, sleep disruption, depression, and vaginal dryness. Those are very common symptoms, which can also be experienced in perimenopause. But there are many, many other symptoms. And most people don't know that the perimenopausal period is actually associated with as many as 34 different conditions, ranging from hair loss to burning mouth syndrome or tingling and numbness of the lips, gums, and tongue. And the severity of the symptoms really varies between women. It might just be months, but for some women, perimenopause lasts for many years. So there's many signs and symptoms. I'm just going to read off some of these because most people don't have any clue. They're going to their doctor, you know, thinking that the world is ending or that they have some other condition, having no clue that this is completely related to perimenopause. So period changes we talked about, a change in the flow, irregular cycles, hot flashes, mood changes, either becoming more or less stable or unpredictable, fatigue, general fatigue and poor sleep, and night sweats, bouts of general insomnia, brain fog. This is a big thing, basically, where you're having symptoms where your memory is slipping, you're having poor concentration, you feel like you have difficulty absorbing information. This is a big one. It's very subtle, but it's a big one that happens to a lot of people. Loss of sexual desire. So low libido, you just lose interest in sex. Joint pains and muscle aches. So estrogen is really important in providing lubrication to our joints and preventing inflammation. So as that lowers, that can leave our joints sore and aching. Hair and skin changes. So lower levels of estrogen can affect collagen production, resulting in skin changes, including fine lines, dryness, itching, and tingling. Migraines. If you had a history of migraines, it can become more severe or more frequent. Vaginal and urinary symptoms. So it can cause the tissues around, low estrogen can cause the tissues around your vagina to become thinner, dry, itchy, or inflamed, which is kind of known as vaginal atrophy. Other random rare symptoms, voice impairment, shoulder problems, breathlessness, palpitations, dry eyes, numbness and tingling sensations, dizziness, and nerve pain. Okay. So there's so many different types of symptoms that are actually, most of the time, women in their 40s are going to the doctor thinking the world is ending and they have no idea. And the doctor actually does not usually tell them, hey, you're going through a transition, right? So what's happening hormonally? Well, we know that the number of ovary follicles declines, and the ovaries also have a reduced response to follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone. FSH and LH don't perform their usual functions to regulate estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone as well. There's a reduction in progesterone synthesis, so that can lead to estrogen dominance. So then you know, there can be symptoms of estrogen dominance. During menopause, estrogen levels are falling slowly, while progesterone levels can fall pretty drastically. And then declining estrogen levels during menopause also alter our brain metabolism. So this can cause temporary cognitive changes, and the brain is kind of looking to tap into alternative fuel sources, fatty acids, whatever else. It's trying to find stuff to protect itself and connections. And that's really important because that explains some of the cognitive stuff that's happening as well. And of course, we're going to talk about menopause as well. And as I mentioned, menopause is considered to have occurred when a woman has not had her menstrual period for 12 consecutive months. Typically occurs in the late 40s to early 50s, although the age can vary based on genetics and other factors. Again, decline in estrogen is happening along with progesterone. And the key aspects for menopause are the complete cessation of menstruation. So there's just no more period. Okay. The same core four symptoms that happen in perimenopause are the same in menopause. So the core four are the hot flashes, the night sweats, the mood swings, the vaginal dryness, changes in libido, sleep disturbances can be a part of that too. And then, you know, not all women are going to experience these symptoms. And then remember, there's a whole bunch of other symptoms that women may experience and be very confused about. Bone health is a thing as well. So maintaining bone health through diet, exercise, and becomes very, very crucial. Weight-bearing exercises become crucial. And starting well before menopause is a really good idea to set yourself up for really great bone health. Cardiovascular health becomes an issue sometimes because estrogen has a protective effect on the cardiovascular system. So after menopause, women can face an actual increased risk for heart disease. So it's really important to, you know, make healthy diet and regular exercise even more important during that time. And also watch that, especially if that's something that's in your family or, you know, in your family history of disease. And then emotional well-being. Menopause can greatly impact a woman's emotional well-being. There's mood swings, there's irritability, all the changes in mental health, changes in your body, all of the things can be a bit wonky and definitely lead to a feeling of emotional destabilization. So it's really important to get support from healthcare professionals, from friends, from family during this time. So I've worked with a lot of menopause clients, funnily enough, and I started out at the beginning of my career working with some clients who were in menopause and helping them get rid of the symptoms of menopause, even though I myself have never experienced it yet. And I just found it really fascinating. And I've noticed some key things nutritionally that really have helped a lot of my clients. So, you know, eating sufficient protein during this time is very important. It doesn't, even if you are plant-based, you'd have to pay attention to getting an adequate protein because as we age, we're muscle wasting. So we want to have enough muscle and we also want to eat enough protein to sustain the muscle that we have and to grow muscle if we're in that phase and we're exercising and all that stuff. Avoiding inflammatory foods that can make hot flashes and all the symptoms worse is a really big one. It was so fascinating to me. It's been fascinating to me over the different types of clients, the different foods that would trigger once they were removed would stop the trigger of the hot flashes. I found it so fascinating. I've had clients who, as soon as they get rid of eggs, all of a sudden they stop having as many hot flashes. I had a client who actually her body temperature was regulated by eating cooler food. So she actually had to adopt almost like a raw food diet, but she felt great on it and her hot flashes would stop. It's just fascinating. But I noticed it is different for each person. But even though, you know, what you may need to avoid may be different from another woman, all women need to focus on balancing their adrenal glands at that point and also eating to manage their blood sugar levels and eating sufficient protein. And then, of course, there were all the basics like paying attention to phytoestrogen-rich foods. Some people do better on soy products than others, but, you know, soy products, flax seeds, lentils, whole grains, these sometimes can help alleviate menopausal symptoms. Paying attention to making sure that your calcium and vitamin D levels are adequate, either via supplementation and also through dietary sources. Omega-3 fatty acids, very important, can help with mood swings and also support your heart health. Getting enough fiber, of course, very, very important in general to prevent constipation and also help, you know, with buildup of excess hormone if there's an issue there. Adequate hydration, definitely, and limiting caffeine and alcohol, a big, big thing. Caffeine and alcohol can definitely contribute and exacerbate symptoms like hot flashes, and I've seen that in certain clients as well. same as you would deal with in any other phase of life. You want to limit processed foods and added sugars. Very, very important. And, you know, for a lot of people, their body becomes more sensitive. So they look at something and they gain weight at that stage. So limiting the processed foods and junk foods and added sugars really helps with weight maintenance, but then also can also help stabilize the mood. So yeah, I hope this is giving you a general overview, very general, of perimenopause and some things you can think about during the menopausal transition. We're going to take a break now. And when we return, we'll delve deeper into how to navigate menopause and biohacking as a woman with our amazing guest. So stay tuned. Are you a woman struggling with horrible periods, fibroids, endometriosis, PCOS, infertility, or unsavory menopausal symptoms? I'm Asosa E, also known as The Raw Girl of TheRawGirl.com. I'm a certified nutrition specialist and behavioral coach. And in my Hormone Balancing Academy, me and my team can help you approach any hormonal challenge you are facing from a holistic perspective. Don't take my word only for it. Here's a snippet from a recent client whose fibroid shrunk after following my recommendations.
Come to find out, my fibroid shrunk to a 1.5. Yes, Jesus. I was so happy and grateful to God and Asosa and, you know, just her program, really. Outside of my fibroid shrinking, I am off of chicken, so I don't do meat. Yes, Jesus. And I don't do dairy. We don't do that anymore. And my weight is steadily at a 101 pounds as of today. So my weight did go up. So I'm really happy with my results. I'm really grateful to God and to Asosa and her Raw Girl program. And I highly, highly, highly recommend you sign up for Raw Girl. You won't regret it.
Just in case you missed it, head on back to season 6 and hear more of the amazing glow-up stories from women who have overcome infertility, normalized incessant periods, and much more. If you or someone you know are interested in reaching your hormonal health goals with support this year, visit therawgirl.com to sign up for a free 20-minute call, and a member of our team will talk to you. Until then, stay healthy and happy. Zora Benamou is a gerontologist on a mission to disrupt menopause stigma and ageist stereotypes. She's the host of Hack My Age podcast, focusing on biohacking for women going through the menopause transition. Zora is a 53-year-old digital nomad currently in Europe. She founded the website hackmyage.com and is the creator of online menopause programs for women in peri and post-menopause. She's also a member of the Gerontological Society of America, the Aging Society of America, and the European Menopause and Andropause Society. She's a certified sports nutrition coach and Oxygen Advantage advanced breathing instructor. Zora Benamou, I am so happy to have you on the Staying Ages podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about so many things that I've listened to your podcast. I'm excited to share a bit more.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. So the first thing I have to ask is, I was like, wow, a gerontologist. Like I want to talk to someone. I want to talk to you about this. Obviously, this is the Staying Ages podcast. I'm very interested. And first of all, what led you to gerontology? Kind of give us an idea of like how you got to the journey that you've been on to helping women also to menopause, but also specifically, I'm very curious about this gerontologist situation.
I'm so glad you're excited about that.
Yeah.
Don't even know what it is. And I have to explain, what is a gerontologist? What is gerontology? And I seem to choose these professions that nobody knows about or has ever heard of or a clue on. And one is gerontology and the other is biohacking. So to explain gerontology, it's the study of aging and longevity. And this is not only looking at things from a biological perspective in terms of how our body ages and why we get certain diseases and advocating for older adults. And that's true. But we also look at the sociological aspect and the psychological aspect to aging. So it's not just, you know, eat this, your body ages faster, slower, done. Like, it's so much more than that. It's so much, so complex. And so I was into the biohacking community before I did the master's in gerontology. And so I was just always interested in just how can we age a little slower, not make it go so fast and age better. And so it was really that biohacking background of mine led me towards gerontology, because there is no master's of biohacking. It's a new thing. And it's an old thing with a new name. And the gerontology really brought the science as well as the credibility, and for me to understand really how to bridge the gap between gerontology and biohacking. And now I use that for women going through this menopause transition, these two hats. But I was just always interested in how to age slower.
Yeah, super cool. I want to hear what your take is, or what your approach was to biohacking, just because I feel like all of the men that I follow or know of that are doing biohacking, for me, I'm like, you're doing too much for me. I'm going to age slow. I know what I need to do. I don't know. Sometimes the gadgets and the things feel so overwhelming, at least, you know, for some of the people that I observe. And also sometimes, you know, because I had grandmothers who lived to over 100, and sometimes I'm like, they were just chilling in the village, eating really great food and not having stress. So I really don't, you know, do I need a machine? I don't know. I want a female perspective to approaching biohacking, basically.
Yeah, let me explain what biohacking is. And you're so right. It's an industry that's been dominated by men. And now the women are coming into this picture, because we realize that all the things that we've learned for the guys are not necessarily always working for the girls. And the idea of what people see about biohackers, and if you've heard of Brian Johnson, he made headlines about spending $2 million on making his body age, you know, 25 again. And you don't need to spend $2 million, and you don't need all these gadgets, and you don't need all this stuff. But that's the image that people are having. And of course, yes, we like gadgets because we like data. We like to test, measure, and assess. And that's the difference between, say, a health enthusiast and a biohacker, is because we want data, not only to understand what we're feeling, because some people don't feel anything. You ask them, how do you feel when you eat rice? They're like, I don't know. Or how do you feel? Like, I don't know. But then if you have a gadget, sometimes that can help them. Oh yeah, my blood sugar is spiking. And I was kind of tired after that. And it helps them a little bit. So we do kind of like the gadgets. But biohacking, just to break down the word, bio is biology. Hacking is finding a shortcut or a way or an offset, or try to create some kind of change in our internal environment, our chemistry. And we always look at our own bodies as a chemistry lab. And we are the scientists trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And we're always doing our N of one experiments. And N of one just means you're one in this experiment, because usually studies would say, oh, we have N of 1,000 or N of 1,000,000, you know, how many people are in this study so we can make these conclusions. And a biohacker really likes the studies and loves the research, but we understand that the only person that's important in this room is you. That doesn't matter what the study says. If it doesn't work with you, well, it doesn't work. Or if it does, then great. So when you're coming to biohacking, I look at my definition of it is really, it's looking at it like a pyramid. So the base of the pyramid is all the things that we know that we need to do in terms of our nutrition, our exercise, our stress management, our sleep, our community, our purpose, our society. All of this is really important. We get this down. And then the middle tier of biohacking would be those things that you don't really need a doctor for, which is maybe some supplements or an ice bath or red light therapy. And then the top tier is something you would need a doctor for, which would be platelet-rich plasma injections, peptides, or regenerative medicine, something, you know, you need another hack. And what people tend to do or think about biohackers is that middle and top tier. And how, what's the supplement I can take? And what's the injection I can do to just get better? And in fact, those things, at least in my experience, don't work so well or at all if we don't have that foundation. So I always teach my clients, get that foundation first, and maybe you don't even need that stuff. But yep. I also have those clients who really do the foundation. They're just like still struggling. They need a little crutch, a little help along the way. And that's when those extra biohacks are really, really helpful. So I really hope that this has cleared a little bit of that stigma, or that stereotype of a biohacker, because it isn't about the gadgets and the, I mean, it isn't only about the gadgets and the injections and supplements and all that. That's just kind of a little add-on. And we really, you know, do the things that you're doing, that you're talking about, that's the foundation. That's the most important part.
Yeah. Yeah. And that ties really well in with the conversation I just had with a regenerative medicine doctor who literally was like, we now focus on the foundation and then add on stuff. Like, I'm not even going to give you any, you know what I mean? I'm not going to give you any injections or anything until I deal with your A1C and I deal with your sleep. And I was like, see, now this all makes sense, because I feel like everyone is kind of coming to the same page where they realize you can do all the fancy stuff, but you still need the baseline stuff. And, you know, if you just do the baseline stuff, you actually might be okay for some people. You actually might be all right.
Yes.
You probably don't. Genes and other things, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And you're right. It does seem overwhelming at the beginning, but it's kind of like when you first started studying nutrition and you were overwhelmed, there's macronutrients and micronutrients and the Krebs cycle and how to write, you know, it's just like a lot. But when you get into it and the more you read, the more you study, the more you practice, it's just another language that you have. And it's not so overwhelming, and you break it down and you then figure out what is it that I need really for me or for my clients or to help your dad or whoever.
Yeah. 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 So let's talk about menopause and perimenopause, child. So how did you get into, I mean, obviously you had your own experience, but what led you to now then take your experiences and focus in on that as well?
So I've been in this biohacking track and working with clients, and I created a podcast 3 years ago, and I've been always giving information related to the biohacking track, but for women, really, for women and for older women, because I also realized in this community that the younger women have different needs and interests. They want to have their cycles great. They want to have babies. They want to, and we're past that when we get into menopause. We don't want any of that anymore. And we are more focused on our gray hair or wrinkles or something like that. And they're very different needs. And then the hacks also need to be a little bit adjusted as well. So I really focused on that. And then my community was really asking for information on hormones, on menopause. And it was really them who demanded this. And that's why I started to get more experts in this field to talk about this. And then anyone who was on my podcast or brought into my community was like, okay, you got to, whatever it is that you know, whether it's stem cells or whether it's some other gadget, you got to talk to a woman going through this perimenopause transition into menopause, because that's what we target and that's what we focus on, because the general stuff is may or may not apply. And so yeah, that's how I got into it. And then of course, I was going through it myself, and I am in perimenopause now. I'm 53 and I'm in that perimenopause phase. So I'm thinking, well, this is maybe, when I was 50, I was thinking, yeah, you know, maybe I should really get into learn about this, because I'm probably going to go through it. And what I didn't realize it is that I was already starting on that journey like 5-10 years before. And I had no clue, no clue, because there was no talk about it, no information. And in my head, I was like, when I was in my 40s, I was thinking, this is something I'll worry about when I'm 50.
Right.
And that's what I want to help women to understand is, please, like, you got to understand what your hormones are doing and what perimenopause is, and understand that it can even happen in your 30s, and it's not that unusual. So I could talk on forever, but I'm going to stop right here because I'm really, really excited about sharing information and what I didn't know and helping women just to be more aware.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people don't know is that they don't know that perimenopause starts literally a decade or even, I don't even know, you know, genetics are very strange because, you know, some people based on what their mother had menopause, it's identical. Some people it's not. Like I see some clients who, because I've been lucky to see like entire families because people are like, here, come see my mom, come see my cousin. You know, they send me everybody. So it's so funny to see a mother who had no menopausal symptoms at all, who was living her best life because she was in the islands. And then her daughter is like already having hot flashes at 40 something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's like, but I think that happened more because of lifestyle differences. But can you break down some of the things that happen in perimenopause that may be confusing for people where they don't even know that that's perimenopause?
Yes. Can I define first what is menopause and perimenopause and some of these different stages? Because there may be someone listening who really has no idea. I met so many women. I do these 1 minute reels that I share on Instagram and Facebook where I interview women all around the world. I literally stop them in the street and say, hey, will you answer 5 questions about menopause? And I realize whether it's in Thailand or Hong Kong or Spain or US, like there's a lot of confusion. They're all confused. And so to explain what menopause is, and we use this term, you may hear the menopause space and it's, what is that? And we often are talking about perimenopause and menopause and even postmenopause. And they're very different stages. So menopause is really just a one-day event. It's when you have 12 consecutive months without your period. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's just one. That's menopause. Like if you want to get real technical. And it's a stupid thing to mark because it's really the transition. It's the perimenopause phase that really is one of the hardest parts. And you really want to be aware. And perimenopause happens generally between around five years on average. It can be just a year and it can be up to 10 years. Okay. So the average is, let's say the average age of menopause is 51 in North America. It's 48 in India. It could be different in many different countries, but in North America it's 51. So about 46, you're going to start feeling some of the, you will or will not. I hate to, you know, I want to make a stereotype. You may have some perimenopausal symptoms, but even if you don't have these symptoms, it doesn't mean that you're not going through menopause or you're not having a change. If you look under the hood, you will see the bones may be getting more brittle. The hormones are starting to be depleted. The muscle mass is starting to go away. Like the insulin resistance may be starting and you don't know or see or feel these things yet, but they're happening. Even without the symptoms. So it's actually a good thing to have the symptoms because at least you know what's going on. You're at least become aware. And so I always tell women, once you hit 40, I want you to really pay attention to what you hear about menopause and perimenopause. And what you hear, always be a little skeptical, always question and see if it applies to you or maybe not applies to you because one, is it misinformation? Is it true? Does it apply to you? Even if it's true, maybe it doesn't apply to you. And also the science is evolving and changing. We are literally in the Wild West right now when it comes to certain treatments of menopause. And I think in 10 years down the line, we're going to have a lot more clarity. But right now it's like that. So there's the perimenopause, which is say, let's say mid-40s until about 50. And then there's after 50, after you hit that date, it's called postmenopause, but we really rarely use that word, but it's postmenopause. And then if you were to get into menopause, if that 12 consecutive months happens before the age of, in between 40 and 45, that's just called early menopause. Okay. It's early onset menopause. And, and then before that, it's under 40, then it's more rare, but not completely unusual to have your period stop and say 38 or 39. but then you really are probably starting to feel the symptoms in your mid-30s.
So as a gerontologist, do you consider menopause a indicator, the stage or the time in which menopause happens for a woman, an indicator of how fast she's aging?
No, we don't have enough data yet for that. We can't make these conclusions that if you have early menopause, you're going to die earlier. We don't know. And right now, what we do know, no, it's not the case. And right now we don't, unfortunately, as you know, most studies in the past have been done on men, and there's not as much in robust studies done on women. Now they're happening because now it's obligatory, but let alone we still have little and even less on a woman going through menopause because we didn't want to go take the women in the first place because we have periods and we have babies now and menopause. And now it's just for a researcher, it's very expensive to do research. And then when you have to make these co-founding factors for these women who are fluctuating and take their hormones, I mean, it's just too expensive and too hard. So, but they have to get over it.
You're a bit more complex because of the various hormonal stages someone can go through. Like, so I just find that fascinating though, because I tell people that like, I literally turned 30 like a year ago and I felt it. It was so weird. I literally was like, my body stayed in the stage of being 20 something for well over a decade. So I was like, this is so fascinating how I could feel it. Like when it changed, because all of the things that my clients were experiencing when they're 30 did not happen to me until like literally like a year ago. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on?
Well, you know, with something really interesting to keep in mind is when it comes to our hormones, and I just want women to get familiar with the words progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. Those are just the basic sex hormones that you're going to hear a lot. And there's so many other hormones you're going to talk about, but I want you to get really familiar with those. And I know you know those, but a lot of women who do not understand that. So we have estrogen, progesterone are the two ones that get talked about the most, and they go into balance with each other. When progesterone is up, the estrogen tends to go down and vice versa. It's like a little seesaw. But in your mid-30s is when you have a very steep, precipitous, and fast decline of progesterone. And that throws everything else off balance. And that's in mid-30s. In your 40s, once you hit 40, then estrogen all takes a decline, but it's more gradual than progesterone. Sometimes it feels like you're falling off a cliff too, but it's very, nobody really knows about that. So when you're in your 30s, you are not thinking about menopause at all. And you're not thinking about your hormones and you're not worried about that. But I want women to be aware if you are feeling anxious, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling a little weepy, you're feeling a little bit stressed out, then you may want to test your progesterone levels and see where they're at, because the progesterone hormone is the calming hormone. It's the relaxing hormone. It's your best buddy. And you're going to be real sad when she's gone.
Right. Yes. Yes, for sure. For sure. How do you feel about bioidentical hormones, and when, or like based on your research, like when do you feel like is an optimal time to start using those if someone was going to use them?
Well, if you were in your mid-30s feeling all those symptoms and you tested your progesterone and you're low, that's a good time to start bioidentical progesterone and at least test it. Okay, because maybe it's you know, your diet, or maybe it's you just got divorced, or maybe you lost a parent. Like, of course, you know, all these things are, it's normal to be sad and weepy and stressed and depressed. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you may notice that you're not handling it as you used to. And progesterone may be a good time. And of course, you talk to a doctor who's versed in this. But progesterone is a thing that you can buy over the counter. It's not the like the other hormones where you really need a prescription. And you can buy this online from, say, a doctor or a good website. Not, I wouldn't go on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon, but I really wouldn't. but it's quite a safe thing to do and experiment with. But again, you know, talk to your doctor, because obviously you may have some other underlying condition I have no idea about. And but it is something to really take in consideration. Very simple to do. And even I know people who give progesterone to their 20-year-old daughters because they've tested them and they see that they're quite low and they're having all these symptoms. And they go, let's just top up. It's just topping up a little bit of progesterone. It doesn't mean like you've lost all your progesterone, but right. You probably want to top up. So I'm a big fan of bioidentical hormones. I'm a big fan of hormones in general. I love hormones. I wish I had them back. I wish I had them. When you're 20s, in your 30s, you're full of it. And you're really sad when they go away. Because all of these issues, all these problems that women have, they start when we're losing our hormones, right? Mm-hmm. Women, why do women have more osteoporosis? Why do we get more dementia than men? You know, there's all these questions floating around. And it all happens to be right when we start losing our hormones. And if you ever take one of these biological aging test kits, again, it's sort of a little biohack for you. People love to test their ages and things, and there's a lot of different ones out there. But you'll see generally what they're showing in the research is that when women are tested for biological age versus men, we're actually up until menopause, we're doing really good. We're actually young. Our biological age is younger than our actual age. But then when we hit menopause, it takes a steep decline and we're suddenly older than we are, biologically older than our chronological age. And then there's other studies showing then that woman goes on bioidentical hormones and she goes right back up.
Right.
It's a really interesting thing to find. So yeah, no, I just did a very interesting course. I mentioned to you that it's called the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine. They have a course called the Menopause Method, and it's a training for doctors so that they know how to treat their patients. And they allowed me to take the course. So I had some very interesting insight into how doctors need to approach the patients, what they need to know about them. And then I'm able to help my clients or my community advocate them for them and know, as given the right tools and questions to bring to their doctors so that they know they feel good, they feel safe. Because the biggest fear that women have for the last two decades is hormones cause cancer, or they're worried, you know, hormones got such a bad rap from a bad study.
But it was only like one study that just got pimped out too much, or a couple studies that got pimped out too much. There's a lot of really good research too that is like, hey, calm down, everybody. The hormones.
That's the new stuff. Yeah. So the Women's Health Initiative in 2002. And it was, unfortunately, it wasn't even published. And word got out that they had to stop the study because some women were getting cancer. And then all the headlines could understand was hormones cause cancer. And nobody ever waited for the actual official announcement, which said, oh, actually, no, there is very little or no risk at all. But that didn't make the headlines. And for two decades, women were hormones were ripped out of their hands like candy from a baby. And they were suffering for a long time. And then 17 years later, they went back to these women in this study and they actually found out how protective the hormones were.
Yeah.
So and then there were a lot of holes in the study, like the average age was 62. And most women who are considering bioidentical hormones are in their 40s and 50s. And yeah. You know, it was a big mess, and all this stuff needs to be repaired. And now it looks like the pendulum is swinging the other way, where everyone's like, "Woo, it's protective, really?" Well, maybe, you know, again, you're all bio individual, and that's why you have to talk to your doctor about the risks and the benefits. And I always say, talk to your doctor if you're interested in hormone therapy. Have them explain it to you. Discuss your individual risks and benefits of taking it, as well as the risks and the benefits if you don't take it.
Right. And I'll add a caveat, because one of my key menopause clients was a surgeon. You know, the doctor came to me and I had to convince her to take hormones, and she felt so incredible afterwards, you know? Uh-huh. And so if you just have to find someone who's qualified, who knows what is going on, you know, and who can at least look at hormone testing for you, encourage you to like try stuff that you're scared to do. Because I find that a lot of doctors don't know about it, or at least not in depth, and they can't really explain it in a way that also doesn't leave people scared. So she was, I think, frightened about, you know, the headlines too, like, you know, leads to cancer. So she just refused to take it. And I was like, no. Like, it's going to change your life.
Yeah, okay. We have to think of hormones not bad. I mean, if somebody has diabetes, insulin's a hormone. Are you going to say, no, you should do this natural and die early? No, I mean, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do it for people who need any kind of hormone. So why would you do it for a woman who's lost her hormones and really feeling bad?
Yeah.
And so that story's got to change a little bit, and people need to read. And I really want women to educate themselves, not just hearing this on a podcast. Go and read Estrogen Matters by Dr. Avram Blooming. You can go read, there's so many books out there. Read the research, and also keep in mind, you can find all the research that shows how great menopause medicine is, or hormones are. And then you can also find a lot of studies that say how it's not good. So you got to learn how to read these studies too, and ask the question, is this study done with bioidentical hormones? Is this done with the synthetic stuff? Is this done with a large group, a small group? You know, it's a lot of work. But you got to go through it to really be convinced. And if you are not convinced that it's good for you or safe or for some reason, then don't take this. Okay. Yeah. Because what you're putting in your head counts. So I just really want women to educate themselves and not just, you know, hear their friend did it and it's great, because women can be taking the hormone therapy and feel worse. And it's mostly due because the doctors are not really sure what they're doing. Like you said, their doctors are not trained in menopause medicine. It's I've heard anywhere from 0 to 8 hours of training in menopause in different doctors' programs or medical school is what I'm talking about. And when you think about how many years, if not a decade of studying that these doctors have to do, and that's all they get, it's not enough. And it's an art to be able to treat a woman with hormone therapy, because we absorb it differently. We react differently. You can't just give this one standard dose for every woman, and you got to deal with them. And you have to have them come back every month for a couple of months until they get it right. And you teach them how to titrate themselves according to what they're feeling. And it's complex. And I can understand why doctors don't even want to go there, because it's too much work and too expensive to get the training and too much of my time. But they have to, because we're 50% of the population, a little bit more. So like, we need to deal with these women. And if you're lucky enough to go through menopause and get to that age, then you're going to need that help. So really, you've got to find a doctor who is trained in this, and be 100% sure and secure, you feel safe yourself, that your doctor knows what they're doing. And if you don't know where to go and how to find that, I've got all the resources on my website.
Sure, cool. Let's wrap it up with just a question about you know, there's a lot of body changes that happens as our hormones change as well. And I think a lot of clients that I deal with, they're always struggling with trying to do the same things that they were doing at a certain age, and then realizing, hey, like, that's not going to work. And, you know, I have to like break it down and try to get them refocused, not on weight loss, but on muscle mass, you know, all the things. And sometimes it takes a really huge mental adjustment. Can you talk about what you have discovered on your own journey working with women as well? And, you know, what you feel is optimal as far as like body goals? Because everyone wants to look great. It doesn't matter how old they are. And I feel like there's an anxiety that creeps up too with the changes that happen, not just because of the hormones, but also because of what's happening to your body at the same time.
Yeah. So there's what's happening to your body in terms of the looks. And then there's what's happening to your body in terms of you're losing your strength, or you're losing your hearing, you're losing your eyesight, you're losing your hair. Like, all of this is really stressful. And, you know, so no wonder, yeah, women are struggling. And on top of it, we've got this ideal. We have to be on this ideal that we see in social media and always be beautiful and perfect. And, you know, why is it that men can have gray hair and wrinkles and it's not that bad, but for women, oh my gosh, you know, it's so much worse. And that's a real pressure on a woman. Mm. And so then we become in this position where we really would try anything or spend as much money as we need to try to hold up to that standard. So and it's really hard to change that mindset. I mean, it really, as much as you try and I try to say, let's focus on strength and power. This is something as a gerontologist is so important, right? When you see somebody in their 70s or 80s who are not able to go up a flight of stairs, who cannot carry their groceries, who cannot open a jar, you get worried. Like, how is this person going to age at home? They want to age at home in place. And how are they going to take care of themselves? And so we can't really imagine. It's hard for us to imagine ourselves as a 70 or 80 year old, but we will get there if we're lucky and we want to be there strong. But we're still so preoccupied with just looking good in our clothes and being attractive. And as much as you try to change that shift, it's at least with the women I've been working with, is even if they say it, they try to convince, it's still in the back of their head. I still want to fit into my clothes, or I still want to look good. And so I don't want to, I don't want to dismiss that and poo-poo it. It's important. It is there, whether you like it or you not. But trying to shift and say, okay, let's make the goal not weight loss, not fat loss. We want to build muscle and strength, and we want to be strong. It really softens things a lot. And I think you're doing great with that. And I'm trying as much as I can as well to bring that goal. Let's just be goal, because you will hit those goals when you try to strength train. And you, whether or not you've lost the weight, you will get some kind of a win. And that's already something. And then, of course, the more muscle mass you have, you feel stronger and you start to be less insulin resistant. You're more insulin sensitive. So then you can really eat more like you'd like to eat. And a lot of good things come out of that, not just looking good in your clothes anymore. So shifting the focus is important, but I have to admit, it's always in the back of a woman's head, at least the woman's I've been working with.
Very interesting. Because to me, like, I feel like women always do better when we can somehow kind of feel our way into feeling better. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but it's kind of like, instead of being like, I got to get back into my size 4, you know what I mean? It's like, I just want to feel great today. What makes you feel great? I feel stronger now, or I feel, and I do think that there is one of the things, because you were talking about the psychology of aging. And one of the things that I think that helps, at least when I talk to people who are over 100 or whatever, and they seem to be living their best life, they tend to have a very optimistic mindset. And they also tend to kind of be like, what will be in a sense. It's kind of like just getting to a place. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to settle for not being my best. It's just that maybe I shouldn't compare myself to who I was in last season. You know,
yes.
Like, I need to like now set a new bar for myself that feels good, that feels empowering, that doesn't feel like I'm trying to live into the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as we age, we chill out a little bit on that. And I think for a woman going through this menopause transition, whether you're in your 40s and 50s, you're in a transition. Transitions are hard. Transitions are very hard. And we realize that, okay, we're not young anymore. We're not like 25 anymore, 30. We get it. We start to see those signs of aging, but we're not old yet either. So you're in this in between. And that's why you hang on so hard to your youth, because you feel like it's sucking you there, but that's why it's so hard, because you're just not here, not there. You're in this midlife,
right?
So it's and that's why you struggle so hard with it. And then once you get past that, at least is my observations, it's like, okay, whatever. It is what it is. It's easier to accept and then have that mindset that you're talking about is all those small wins, and you feel really good, and you're not comparing yourself to your 20 year old self, because you go, well, I wouldn't want to be 20 in a lot of ways. Yeah. I want to be a strong 60-year-old or a strong 70-year-old or whatever it is. I mean, I'm really about aging strongly, not so much aging gracefully. Okay. I prefer, let's just be strong, because I want to be independent. And most older adults that I speak with, they want to be independent, living independently, doing things independently, not be a burden on their family. Yeah. And the only way to do that is to keep your health and stay strong.
I agree.
Mentally and physically.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Where can people find you, Zora?
Hackmyage.com. This is a little bit of biohacking there. And on an Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm all over the place. And you can always find me on YouTube. But the hackmyage.com website is where you're going to find a lot of free resources, where how to find a menopause doctor and in your area. And this is globally, not just in North America. And what to expect. And I got programs out there, free stuff and group stuff. It's all very affordable. And it's just want women to be empowered through this transition.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. This has been amazing.
Thank you.
Are you interested in living your best, healthiest life? I'm Asosa E, also known as The Raw Girl of TheRawGirl.com, and I'm a certified nutrition specialist and behavioral coach who specializes in helping you discover what exercise and diet is best for your body and get to the root cause and rebalance if you have a serious chronic condition. Clients who've worked with me have reversed diabetes, hypertension, balanced hormonally, gotten rid of acne for good, and lost hundreds of pounds. If you are interested in reaching your health goals with some support this year, visit therawgirl.com to sign up for a 20-minute call with yours truly. Until then, stay healthy and happy. Attention, superfood lovers. You all may know that my favorite African superfood of all time is Moringa. Why? Moringa has 92 nutrients, 46 antioxidants, and all 8 essential amino acids, making it an amazing plant-based source of protein. Every part of the plant could be used. I personally use Moringa oil on my face daily, and I use Moringa powder to add my smoothies, make Moringa bread, or sprinkle on meals for added nutrition from a company called True Moringa. Founded in 2013, True Moringa is creating jobs and community with their amazing skincare and wellness products. The coolest part, every time you make a purchase from True Moringa, they plant a tree in your name. To date, they have planted over 3 million Moringa trees to combat deforestation and malnutrition in Ghana. To check out their awesome products, visit truemoringa.com and use the code RAWGIRL at checkout for 10% off and free shipping over $20. If you are already a diehard fan or becoming one, this year you have the opportunity to join their True Moringa Challenge and get free Moringa oil for a year, $104 in value. Customers who have used their oil say it helps to bring their skin back into balance, deeply moisturize, and minimize signs of premature aging. All you have to do is follow @TheRawGirl and @TrueMoringa on Instagram and email us at media@therawgirl.com with before and after photos or videos of your skin transformation after using the oil, along with your story. Don't miss out on the chance to get a full year of product. Can't wait to hear from you.
All right, all right. Today, we will not be taking a question from Instagram or email. But remember, if you want your question answered on the show, all you got to do is send me a DM, slide up in my DMs on Instagram @TheRawGirl, or contact me via my website, TheRawGirl.com. I'm sure if you got anything out of this show, you've definitely learned that hormones need time and quick fixes are just not it. They need a little bit of finesse, okay? Well, if you're a woman navigating perimenopause or menopause, our program Staying Ageless 40 Plus is designed to help you navigate these changes and set you up for a healthier you, no matter what your hormones are up to. So here's what's included in our Staying Ageless 40 Plus program. There is adrenal function saliva testing. There's an at-home test that provides valuable insights into your adrenal health, which is very important for this stage of life. We delve deep into your adrenal function to understand how to support your body better. There's an hour and a half one-on-one initial consultation, so you get personalized guidance and recommendations to navigate this stage with diet, supplements, and lifestyle changes tailored just for you to focus on during the program so you can see results at last. There are 4 one-hour lectures. Get ready for some enlightening talks, child, okay? You're not going to have to scour the internet for reliable information. I'm going to break down what you actually need to know about supporting your body through perimenopause and menopause. You'll learn about the signs and symptoms of hormonal shifts, how to get rid of them, how to adjust your nutrition to reach those body goals, holistic and also bioidentical hormone therapy, and much more. You will definitely also receive my adrenal fatigue protocol for dealing with adrenal fatigue if that's something that you're dealing with, and boosting your adrenal function so you have the support your body needs to have a symptom-free menopausal journey. And you'll also get a supportive community. So when you join the Ageless Tribe of amazing women in their 40s who are on this ageless journey, you will have other women to connect with, to talk with, to get feedback from. We have a group chat and we try to keep it very lively. Okay. So if you're interested in staying ageless 40 plus, you can sign up for a free call via my website, therawgirl.com. And we will be super excited to chat with you and make sure that the program is the right fit for you. Okay. It is time to close out today's show. I really, really hope you learned something about perimenopause, about menopause, and how to manage the natural shift in hormones all women are bound to face at some point in our lives, okay? If you have any questions or you'd like to share your experiences with implementing any of these holistic approaches into your life, please feel free to leave a comment or reach out to me on Instagram at TheRawGirl. Until next time, I really, really hope you remain empowered to live your best, healthiest life, no matter what hormonal stage you're in, okay? Today, I leave you with a quote from Dr. Sarah Thompson. Embracing the changes of menopause is not about losing, but gaining a deeper understanding of oneself. It's a transformative journey where resilience meets wisdom, and the beauty lies in navigating it with grace. Well, that's all for today, sis. If you're looking for more health tips or have a question for the show, find me on Instagram at TheRawGirl. You can also find me and contact me through my website, TheRawGirl.com. To watch my free diet training, The 6 Keys to Determine Your Ideal Diet, visit therawgirl.com/6ways free class. And to watch my free hormone training, The Secret to Resetting Your Hormones, even if you have fibroids, endometriosis, PCOS, or heavy bleeding, visit therawgirl.com/free-training. For more on this show or to listen to past episodes, visit stayingagelessshow.com.